I'm Salisa.
And I'm Alex.
And you're listening to episode 19 of Terror and Tangents. This month, we read The Only One Left by Riley Sager.
And we're going to have opinions.
Strap in and get comfy.
Hubbin, before you go and meal prep, come read the back of the book, please. Don't fuck it up.
Just talk anything to us.
At 17, Lenora Hope hung her sister with a rope. Now reduced to a schoolyard chant, the Hope family murders shocked the Maine coast one bloody night in 1929. While most people assume 17-year-old Lenora was responsible, the police were never able to prove it. Other than her denial after the killings, she has never spoken publicly about that night, nor has she set foot outside Hope's End, the cliffside mansion where the massacre occurred. Stabbed her father with a knife, took her mother's happy life. It's now 1983, and home health aide Kit McDear arrives at a decaying Hope's End to care for Lenora after her previous nurse fled in the middle of the night. In her 70s and confined to a wheelchair, Lenora was rendered mute by a series of strokes and can only communicate with Kit by tapping out sentences on an old typewriter. One night, Lenora uses it to make a tantalizing offer. "I want to tell you everything." "It wasn't me," Lenora said, "but she's the only one not dead." As Kit helps Lenora write about the events leading to the Hope family massacre, it becomes clear there's more to the tale than people know. But when new details about her predecessor's departure come to light, Kit starts to suspect Lenora might not be telling the complete truth, and that the seemingly harmless woman in her care could be far more dangerous than she first thought.
So, that entire book... Okay, so Lisa,
pre-discussion
reading.
Oh, man. Okay. Nothing more than a 3. Let's just start with that.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. When I was talking to my dad about this book, and he has no idea, I just told him, I was like, I want to love this book so much, but it's not doing anything for me. I really don't want to finish it. Like...
The entire time I was reading it, I was like, I think this is the first book that I actually almost fell asleep to. Like, I was reading in bed, and I was like, no, wait, stay awake, Alex, you gotta finish this book.
I felt like that too.
Riley, this was not it.
We love you.
This was not it for us.
There's a bit more hype that I think this book maybe owns up to.
A lot of the times I was having fun. Mm-hmm. I was fine. And the twists were twisting. I didn't see them coming. But I was just like, why?
But that's why? How I felt too. I was like, oh, that was good. I mean, I didn't see. Okay, there's another one. Oh, there's another twist. I'm like, wait. So I had like 3 different places. I'm holding up my notebook and like. 2 sheets of paper where I wrote down notes to keep the lines of the story straight because it was so much. And I'm like, okay.
It was so much. And there was just, I kept being like, wait, how old are these people? Wait, they're in their 70s. And hang on, Kit's in her 30s. Hang on, what? How old? What? Well, that's the episode, folks. Just like, no so more sorry. Than a 3. Like, I.
Okay, so let's break it down then. Let's talk a little bit more. I feel like for me, the character setup was genuinely good. Like the start of the book, I was like, okay, this is maybe haunted house, weird mystery. I could get into this. And then like the next 100 pages, I just was like, Where are we going with this? And it really felt like there was so many like little red herring, like could be this, could be that, could be that. But it's actually this, but twisted times 5 times. Mm-hmm. And then also the big, creme de la, what's the?
Creme de la creme? Like,
I don't know.
We're American. Whipped cream. The sprinkles on top. Like.
The major arc of the story, her dad did it, and I was like, why? Really? This is so fucked up.
Not even, he didn't, okay, so spoilers.
Yeah.
The mom killed the husband, And then the boyfriend killed the mom. And then she tried to kill herself and it didn't work. And then she went, fell into a deep despair of depression and pretended to be paralyzed.
Invalid, basically. Yeah.
For like, what, 20, 50 years?
Yeah, 50 years. She watched her other sister, like that, who tormented her in her childhood, get what's due to her by taking care of her. I mean, stuck in this house. And then she just, like, one day, like, all of this shit happens and she just gets up and walks away.
So I...
What? What?
One of my things was just, like, good for her. Like, I... Was this worth it? Like, I guess it was.
I know. That's what I'm... 50 years? Was it really fucking worth it?
Was it worth it? Oh. Like, I could understand... If you were, let's say I think she was 16. If we were 16 at this time, doing like 16 or 20 years of revenge, like going the same amount of time that you were tortured. 50?
Ah, man, I'm petty, but like I got shit to do. Like, I mean, maybe we should be applauding her literal ability to hold a grudge and like give the silent treat. She's the queen of silent treatment. That's my tagline.
Just cold shoulder up. Oh, oh gosh.
God. Malfunction. Technical issues. Galore.
I think the universe is just telling us that we really shouldn't have recorded today.
I honestly think so too. I think this book is telling us we shouldn't. We just, there's so many things telling us that, like, what the fuck?
I can't even remember what I was saying, but yeah. I put a clip of you of a YouTube. I put a YouTube clip in here.
Oh. Okay, I was like, what are words?
There's a clip that, because I'm on Instagram a whole bunch, there's like audio snippets that I just relate into my life now. This one is from Mrs. Doubtfire when the wife finds out that Robin Williams has been Mrs. Doubtfire the entire time, and she's just like, the whole time. At the end,
I'm watching it right now, and her face of just like sheer, like, are you fucking serious? Oh my God.
When I read that she just like, time. She got up and like left with her like granddaughter, niece, whatever, right. That was me. Right. I was like, this whole time.
It's just so ridiculous.
I am a spoiled princess. I don't want to pretend to be an invalid and get my ass wiped and wear adult diapers and like.
Yeah, I have to look up that term invalid and make sure it's politically correct because I don't remember. Because if we're going to use it, we need to make sure.
This is fair. Or is disabled better?
Disabled.
Because she is not able-bodied due to what everybody thought.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. This is actually a really good thing that I want to address. Stop. People-centered language or patient-centered language, where you are an individual first and then you're someone who has something going on. So people with disabilities versus a disabled person. So I do believe that the term invalid is politically incorrect. Crippled. I think the other, there's.
I was like, please tell me crippled is politically incorrect because that also doesn't sound.
It sounds terrible, right?
It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Like you're no longer a person, you're a cripple. Like that does not sound great, but I am also an able-bodied person who has never had any. Well, a sprained ankle and having to deal with crutches. Fucking this whole world can burn.
Okay, so this is, invalid is avoidable. You should avoid that. Okay. This is actually a great, so make a note of that because I do want to take that out.
Well, we can also just have this conversation in and be like.
Yeah, that's true too.
BTW. Well, what is the politically correct term? Okay.
So how you're supposed to say what is a appropriate way to say is people with a disability or someone with a disability, someone who has an amputation, not an amputee or the handicapped or the disabled, because what it does is it immediately takes the human element out of it, and no longer are they an individual. They are labeled with something. So mentally handicapped, retarded, crippled, mm-hmm, invalids. Mm-hmm. Those are like kind of terms to somewhat avoid because they're becoming out of date, as words do.
That's fine.
Words become the language outdated. Changes. Yeah. And so it's someone with a disability. So for, I guess, is it Lenora? No, it's Virginia. Well, but she is pretending.
She's Lenora.
Something's wrong with this.
For the entire book. And then you find out that Lenora is actually Mrs. Baker. And the person that we've been calling Lenora is Virginia. So then she is paralyzed.
Yes.
And I'm putting quotes around that because she's not actually paralyzed.
Right. Anyway, but yeah, this is a big thing in this book for me was the kind of course it is, the healthcare thing. So like already I wasn't super excited about this book. My cat is currently climbing on the printer and trying to get to me. So
Jerry,
like,
or
bear
Ben
with me as he knocks some shit over.
It's gotta be Jerry.
He's gotta learn.
So Lisa got a new kitten and she is, how do I phrase this so lovingly? Of the two of us, one of us has a lot more patience when it comes to tiny drunk toddlers in the form of four-legged creatures.
Okay, and he gave up.
It's God. Not Salisa.
Okay, like Benjamin ruined me. Ben is not a real cat. Ben is a mystical creature.
This for years.
You really have. And like Jerry is everything a cat is, and I'm like, why is he so stupid? Why doesn't he know how to stand upright?
Like, and he's a kitten. He's like not even a full grown ass cat. Oh, it's so great. I'm having such a great time.
It's great. I've only been talking about this cat since I've got him though, mm-hmm. So clearly I like him. But I think it's just so comical. I am not a patient person. That is the one thing I don't have. I have patients, like people who come and see me, but I do not have any patients.
Boo. That was bad. Boo. Yes, of the two of us, I am a bit more patient because I don't give
anyway,
a fuck.
So yeah, the language of this book was a little different and difficult too because they were transported back into the time where they were... You know, those terms weren't necessarily.
And then also the 30s before then.
Yeah. And like use of people or patient centered like language is a new thing. And like lots of people I work with don't always do it. And and it's like a wheelchair user, not someone, a person like it's person with a wheelchair. Like
they are human first. Just,
so anyway, it's a learning topic that I think is great to talk about.
Yes, I'm probably going to keep this entire section in because I didn't
know.
Oh,
God.
You're welcome.
Saunders.
Actually, that does bring up a good question that I had.
Mm.
Sorry, I think I had a burp. There it is.
Great.
Uniforms at work. Do you like them? Do you hate them? Oh, you hate them?
Oh.
You wear scrubs. Scrubs are so fucking comfy.
I wear my own scrubs.
Okay. Not the little, like...
I'm picturing the
nurse's outfit that you get at like Spirit Halloween. I know that's not what it was, but that's what I was picturing for like the first couple chapters.
But like that's kind of what I was thinking when they said the nurse outfit too. It was like pure white and like there's a little sexy element to it. I was like, how old is Kit Kat? Like, is she? And then Jessie, isn't she the cleaner? She was in like a maid's room. I was thinking
outfit.
The same thing.
Oh, it's
clearly
good.
Our minds are on a one track course, but
I'm like, I've seen Downton Abbey. I've literally watched a shit ton of stuff from this time period, so I know what they're talking about. But my first thought was, sluts.
Immediately.
Fishnet tights. Like,
oh man. Okay. Well, I definitely am not a uniform person. I wear scrubs at work, but I wear like Carhartt scrubs. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I don't know. I feel like they're a little nicer. They're at Fred Meyer's for $34.99 without a sale and 20% off. You can
find another color. You like call me and you're like, they had another color. So I got five of them.
I have four pairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a lie. I have four different colors. I think I have six pairs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I just got work shirts from Great Harvest. And I fucking love uniforms because that means I don't have to think about what I'm putting on.
Oh, like, that's true. I feel like there's definitely pros and cons. I talked to a patient recently who has uniforms at school. And I'm like, don't you hate that? She's like, no, like, she not at all. I was like, oh, I feel like I would hate that. I feel like my personal expression of my hair, my makeup and my clothing is like an extension of me. So I feel like uniforms are limiting. But she liked them. I was like, OK, cool. Yeah,
my earrings. Every single time I work, my earrings are always my expression.
You have the best earrings.
I know. And I have cultivated a large collection.
So yeah. Be like, yeah, you've inspired me to do more cool earrings. Those lollipop ones I have. Yes. I fucking love them.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there are pros and cons. Definitely if you're at a job where they make you wear a tiny little Spirit Halloween maid or nurse costume, charge more. Charge like 3 times what you're charging. Like, you do you, but charge also, way more.
Right? Okay, if she's not gonna let me wear, no. Oh, there's uniforms. I need at least another dollar or two, like per hourly rate. You're already paying an exorbitant amount of money for me. I'm gonna make you do a little bit more if I have to.
I have to, yeah, seriously.
Also, like, this kind of leads me into my question.
Okay.
At what point would you have noped the fuck out of there?
Well, okay, so this is not a thing. You are coming. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. Let's do a little disclaimer right here, right now. I am way more patient just in general than you are. Wait,
this is the second time you're saying this in the same episode.
I know. It's relevant. You are much more of a caregiver than I am. Like, when people are sick or injured, I'm just like, do you need food? I treat them like a plant. I'm like, do you need food? Do you need water? No? Okay, I can't help you. I'm going
to
sit here.
I don't know what to do for you.
I don't know what to do for you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So I don't think I will ever get into a caregiver job in the first place.
Yeah.
Especially in the 80s. I would have definitely tried to get a job at like one of those like Jazzercise studios. Oh,
I could see you doing something like that.
That'd be so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
But if I did ever get in this situation, that first night when she wakes up and there's like a crack in the wall of the house, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like a big defining moment for me. I was like, oh, this house is going to fall off the cliff.
This like, why are we still here? Like, no.
What? I would have had like a town hall meeting with the family and be like, okay, so are we just ignoring this? Do you guys like have a contingency plan? What's the escape route? Let's discuss a plan in place. Like, if we're going to stay here, no one wanted to give up that ranky ass house. Like, I did not understand that.
I did not understand. I mean, okay, so a part of me did understand, but a part of me definitely did not understand why Lenora and Ricky, the dad, stayed in the house as it was crumbling down the cliff.
Right.
Like,
right.
I sort of get why Lenora, the actual Lenora, Mrs. Baker, whatever, she was like,
yeah,
well, this has been my whole life. I'll never leave this place. This is my home. Why did Ricky go back in? He was just like, my daughter has found out that I killed my wife and Virginia's mom. I'm going to kill myself. Like, I'm...
And Mary. He killed Mary, too.
Oh, shit.
He pushed her off. He killed 3 people. That's why he went down with the house. That's He's like, I ain't getting out of this. But, like, when you're a psychopath like that, or you have no feeling, then you don't just imaginarily, like, oh, I feel guilt now. Like, no, that's not how that works.
I was just so, like, that was a lot of the things. A lot of the twists, it just, they made me go, oh, why? Why? Why?
Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of that. I felt like this book, because I listened to it, was about 3 hours a little too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Even Taylor, she's like, you've been listening to this book a while. I'm like, yeah. I have been.
But, I'm not really enjoying it, but you didn't DNF.
I didn't. I actually thought about it 2 nights ago when I was like, okay, now you got to finish this. Because there was dead mom, like dying, active dying there. And I was like, oh, fuck, this sucks. Like, I already need a good cry. Like, that's probably what I'm going to do today is, like, put some music on and work around my house, cry a couple of times. Like, this book, her mom dying and her taking care of her mom at the end of her life was so triggering for me. I was like, we're gonna tough it out. You told Alex you'd finish this book. We're going to finish this book.
Okay.
We're going to tough it out. And I had to tell myself that multiple fucking times. So if you have a dead parent, don't read this book.
Don't read this book. Unless you are down the line in your grief journey.
Right. You could listen to our podcast and talk about it. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I started this book. It took me 2 days to finish because I was like, I'm done with this. We need to wrap it up. But I started it like a week or two after you did. Like, you were like, I'm on chapter 25. And I was like, I will pick up the book now. And I read that she had a dead mom that died of cancer. What was it?
Yeah, it was terminal breast cancer.
And I was like, why the fuck is Celisa still reading this? I was like,
oh,
you could have DNF'd.
I'm really proud of myself for finishing this, but I did it solely for you and our podcast.
You did not need to do that. I read that and I was like, I would have DNF'd. If I had known, I would have DNF'd it. I would not have even put it on the fucking list.
Damn.
I'm so sorry, Celisa, but I read that and I was like, no, this is triggering for me by proxy.
I'm going to cry today multiple times, but like, it's okay because I'm going to cry. Like, I'll get it out, but like, fuck.
Yeah, this was...
So anyway, if you like be triggered and love a good sad twisty book, this is a great book for you.
There were so many twists.
Which one surprised you? Like the most that you're like, oh, okay.
I think it was the first one. I think when the photo of her being pregnant, just something.
Oh,
I don't even know if that was the first one, but that was the first big twist where I was like,
it was the first big twist. Yeah.
I remember because Adam was like tucking me into bed. He's like, all right, you're done. And I was like, and he's like, oh, are you not done? Because that sounded like a twist gasp. And I was like, I was not ready.
I realized with that twist that early on in the book, like, I was like, this is going to be a fucking roller coaster. And then I started taking more detailed notes because I was like, this is going to get wild because where's this baby? Is this baby in that house? So I will say that that twist held me on for the next half of the book.
Until the next and twist. Like
And then the next twist, I don't remember which one that was. I think it was, I don't remember. But anyway,
I did not write them down very well in my notes. I mostly just wrote
Me neither. I was kind of looking back here. I think the next one that really, really got me, it was a little too late, was.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I just read this. I would have fired her. I would have fired Kit after the snow globe.
Oh, I would have, too.
I would have
got her fucking out of there. Yeah. Yep. But now looking back, that snow globe meant nothing to Virginia.
Right?
Because it was given to Lenora, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Because Lenora, Mrs. Baker, went to Paris. So maybe it was for Lenora. I have no idea. Dude, I have no idea.
The switch that... Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, again, good for her for...
Yeah.
Fucking sticking it out for 40 fucking years.
Honestly, like the twist that I think got me the most was Ricky being Kit's dad.
Oh.
That was like, wait, what? Like the pregnancy was good. The dad twist, I was like, no way. I audibly like yelled in my house, like, no shit. Her dad. And Benjamin came running to me. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Anyway, that was crazy. That was a wild, wild ride. That would be a great Snapped episode. That's exactly what this book is. This is a great Snapped episode.
Is that your recommendation? Just go watch the couple Snapped episodes.
Yes. Go watch that. That show was fun. That's what I put on in the background when I'm cleaning my house. And every now and then I'll like come to. I'm like, man, she did what? Damn.
We all have our comfort things. Mine's always going to be Forensic Files. Always
talk about politically incorrect language.
Ew. They're the fucking queens of it. Although, oh my God, their newest seasons are a little bit better, but they're not they're not classics because the classics are bad. They're real bad.
We all could do better. We strive to be better every day. What other questions you got?
No, literally, we've talked about them all already. Like, have neither one of us really got pulled in. I know you didn't have any unknown words because you listened and I wasn't paying attention. Just fucking this whole time.
I know. I just the long game. I can't even imagine 50 years sitting in for just like sweet fucking revenge. Like, and she walked away and then like the ending, they talked about how she was on Letterman and like talk show
traveled
host
all over the world.
Oh yeah. Has a husband.
Has
now.
A husband.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. I was just like, wow. Like I do not have that in me. Like I really don't. I love that Jesse came and found her. Mm-hmm. Let me put this in the.
Oh, yeah.
I love that Jesse came in. Yeah. Well, no, that's that part. Jesse came and found her. And I just love that so much that they were just planning and dreaming and they had their time to get to know each other. Like, that was such a sweet, like, little part of the story.
And it's one of those things, too, where it's just like she got to live this life afterwards, but her entire family was killed in not nice ways.
Emotional damage.
Like, you know, she didn't have any therapy. She was just sitting in that room
in like her brain
stewing
in her own
with
head.
Her little like spite
literally stewing. Oh my God, you're right. No wonder she could do that. There's no therapy.
She's
back
just
then
like,
that's
yes.
How the time frame. Yeah, she's totally just stewing and brewing and just that fuck you, fuck this house. Fuck you especially, Mrs. Baker. God damn.
Yeah, that damn, it was damn. Good for her. It's just good for her.
Yeah, for real. I agree.
I don't know if I was Kit. A, their relationship, it was very weird, but I was also not in, oh, hey, actually, Salisa. As someone who has recently lost their mother and is experiencing a shit ton of grief, would you have bonded as quickly as Kit did to Virginia Lenora?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Fuck yeah.
There you go.
There are patients that I have that I literally have taken by the shoulder. I'm like, you can't fucking die. Ever. One in particular recently got ill and I was like, don't you fucking even think about it. I won't survive.
Okay.
My grief of that loss for my mom has multiplied my feelings, like heightened, like big fucking softy heart. Like, I'm such a bitch out front, but I really, it's just a facade. I'm a squishy, ooey gooey marshmallow that like just would melt under the slightest little.
Because, yeah, that was one of the things where I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
Let
it's
the bitch
like
die.
So different.
And I'm just like, I think it's just me. I think that's me I'm at.
I honestly felt immediately what Kit felt for Virginia now, aka Lenora.
Wow, okay.
It's so confusing. Anyway, I don't know what to call her because it's so confusing. Anyway. She totally just wanted to take her under her wing and offer her autonomy and independence through speaking her voice and giving her choice and giving her options. Like, that to me is so, like, absolutely, absolutely what I would do. I would have done everything similar besides the fact that there was a few other things. I probably would have gotten out of there when the house started crumbling and would have been like, APS, yes, there is a person with disabilities in here who does not have a handicap accessible stairway to exit a cliff, a house on a cliff that is crumbling, and you need to go rescue them. Anyway, I had my plan. I already knew, like, but yeah, she's a big hearty softy, just like myself, unfortunately. Alex, what is your post discussion rating?
I don't think I liked this book very much. I think, okay, so here's the thing. I think I gave it a 3 because it was a Riley Sager book. It was like, you got 1 star for just being a Riley Sager book. I love Riley Sager.
I agree.
You get a second star because I didn't see any of the twists happening. I was like, cool.
Cool.
I don't know what the third star was for. I don't know what it was for. Couldn't tell you.
A 2.8. Okay. I do think Riley Sager knows how to write a fucking story. Hats off. Yep. I agree. And I certainly am. I'm not going to do it. And you do a really good job at it. You're clearly doing all right in your field of professionalism. Anyway, but I don't know. This story, I was hoping for a Sundown Motel.
What was the other one? It was like Home Before Dark, where at the end, you find out that it was Girls? The glasses. Lock Every Door with the hotel.
Lock Every Door.
I was just expecting to like leave this book and be like, what?
Yeah.
And I didn't. I just not left frustrated. It going, but why?
Right. And it's like, ugh, at least that's over.
Yeah. I immediately picked up another book and I was like, okay, yep. We need to just rinse this.
I was thinking about all the other books I could be reading. I was like, this is not a good book if that's where I'm at. And I'm like, damn it. I want so bad to like it. But anyway, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
recommendations, Alex?
Any nonfiction or fictional book about Lizzie Borden, you'd probably like it.
Yeah. Literally any podcast episode, any docuseries. And I'm sure Zach Bagans and
Zach
Baggins. Bagel bites.
Bagel bites. I don't ever really want to recommend this author because of all of the hype and whatnot.
I can see it. I can already see who it is. So this is great.
But there's just a lot of similarities between this book and that book. So I'm going to recommend Verity by Colleen Hoover, with the giant disclaimer that if you go into Colleen Hoover and you come back at me and go, Alex, I love her romance books, I'm going to slap you aside the head because my goodness, people. Okay. But yeah, do with that information what you will. Those are my recommendations. I got nothing. It was fine.
Listen, I already signed Snap.
I know. You had any Riley Sager book you could pick up and then you'd probably like it more than this one.
I agree. Literally any other Riley Sager book, this is why we keep coming back to Riley Sager. It's because they're a really good author.
Very much what they're doing. Most of the time.
99% of the time so far. Okay. Next book, Alex. What are we reading?
It's The Fervor by Alma Katsu. She does spooky historical. So I read one that was about the Donner Party. And I don't know what this one was about, but I asked some horror authors when I was working at a bookstore and there was some horror authors outside. I asked them. I know. I'm so bougie. I asked them, I was like, what's a horror recommendation? And they were like, oh my gosh, The Fervor by Alma Katsu. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I looked it up and it's like Japanese folklore with World War II history. And I'm like, cool, done.
Moving on. So it's gonna be kind of dark. Like we were maybe triggered personally in this book, but this next book, I think we're gonna be like generational, like triggered, and like hit notes of quite a lot of racism. And I'm
here we go. So I'm excited about it. We'll see. I mean, the cover's like bright pink, so I'm also just excited to have it on my shelf as well.
That's cool.
That is this episode of Terran Tangents, unless Elisa tells me she wants to say something else. Okay, nope, she doesn't. So hope you enjoyed hearing us talk shit about this book. I'm so sorry. You should pick it up and like tell us what you thought about it, because I'm willing to be Riley convinced Sager. Convince me.
They deserve to keep writing. So like fund their writing. They're good. They're a good writer. Great storyteller.
I will still be getting books from Riley. email us. What's our email, Salisa?
TarrenTangents@gmail.com.
Everybody should be following us on Instagram. We will be doing something.
At Terror and Tangents. We are going to be doing something.
Okay. We'll talk about it after.
Yep.
And, remember, people, those fancy houses on the cliffside, they will get eaten by nature eventually.
And you think you're petty, but you're not as petty as Jenny.
Love you.
Bye-bye.